you are enjoying the 40 days of prayer. When we started with the 40 days and all the 40 days in the Bible. And I can tell you that you can see in all the 40 days of the Bible, whether it's rained for 40 days and 40 nights, or Jesus being tempted into the wilderness for 40 days, these were not necessarily times of great joy. They were actually times of trial. And any time we come before the Lord, we know the Lord has some things to show us. And some of those things that he shows us in ourselves are trialing things to face, right? But that is part of the 40 days of prayer, and that's we've been looking week by week as you've been following in these devotions. Many of these things are about the Holy Spirit, how he reveals things in our hearts, and then how the Holy Spirit actually empowers us and gives us the ability for anything we do to have any meaning or any effect on people that we reach out to, or even our own heart. We need the Spirit of God. Amen? And this last week in your 40 days of prayer, we are now in the 21st day of the 40 days. You are right in the midst of the 40 days. If this was the flood, it's only half over the rain and the deluge. And if you are to be fasting in the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, you're halfway there. And the things that we looked at this week about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit helps us in intercessory prayer and the Spirit for others. How many believe that? You know, we need the Holy Spirit, and many of you in praying for others. How many of you have prayed for others and seen that prayer answered? Amen. Yeah, so that is a real thing, and we could talk about why that is and why that happens, but and sometimes I don't have all the answers to why, but I know that it does. We talked about this week about praying God's promises in the Spirit, knowing that in the Bible are promises and praying those, and that the Word of God is brought into fruition as the Spirit of God works and moves in our life and in the lives of others. We also looked at how the gospel work is finished under the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel work began under the power of the Holy Spirit, and so it will end under the power of the Holy Spirit. And there will be a great outpouring in the sense of the latter rain. And that is what certainly we need. It also talked about witnessing in the Holy Spirit. Many of you, you know, have opportunity to share. And I know when I've tried to calculate and plan and to think, and there's important things about planning and calculating and thinking, but every single individual is an individual, and their heart is completely different, and we have no idea what's going on in someone's heart. And as much as you plan and think, and what am I going to say, the Spirit will give you the things to say. Do you believe that? Have you experienced that? So I have, and I know that that's true. He will give you the things to say, and it's not to mean don't plan and don't think and don't plan, but you know that when the time comes, God will give you the right thing to say. And sometimes the thing to say, have you ever had this experience? Sometimes the thing to say is nothing. Have you ever had that? Yeah. There was a time, there's more than one time when I wanted to share with someone and I had it on my burden, just, I'm going to share with them. And then when I was actually there, I mean, I just could not even think of what I was going to say and what word was coming out of my mouth. Sometimes, you know, maybe that's my human frailty, but sometimes I think it's the Spirit of God that actually tells us to be quiet. And I think that's important. And then, and the necessity of Spirit baptism and witnessing, that we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be effective in the things that we do. And as the disciples needed that, so do we. And that the Spirit baptism and preparing the way for Christ's second advent. We've been praying during 40 days of prayer, asking that God would pour out his Spirit in our life, in the life of our church, and in the people that we're praying for. How many of you are lifting up those folks that we asked you to pick five people? Keep praying. You'll see little things will be happening in their lives, maybe big things. Maybe you'll see nothing. Keep praying. Keep praying for the individuals. And I know God has a mighty work. And whether that's going to culminate into something around the meetings that are coming up, whether it's going to culminate around that or some other time, God is still working. So keep praying for individuals. And we will be having a visitor Sabbath. So I hope you've reached out to the individuals you're praying for. I hope you told them that you are praying for them. Your church is having a 40 days of prayer, and they asked us to pick some people to pray for, and that you let them know, hey, I'm praying for you. Is there something we can lift up before you? Lift up before God and pray for you and on your behalf. And that the people will appreciate that. And we are going to have a visitor Sabbath coming up April 9th, and we're going to invite all the people that you're praying for to come. Maybe they'll come. Some will come. Some won't. But we're going to invite and have a special Sabbath that day around prayer and the power of prayer. So keep praying. Let's bow our heads one more time as we ask God to be with us as we consider His Word this morning. Father in heaven, we want to consider Your Scripture, and we ask that the author, the inspirer of this Scripture, into men's hearts that have written these down on ancient scrolls and parchments that now are translated into Bibles that we all have before us. Father, as we consider these words this morning, we ask that Your Spirit would be our teacher and guide. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to be sharing the communion emblems this morning, and I just want to share a few thoughts with you about this. The cross changes everything. The cross literally changes everything. In the beginning, we're told in John 1 was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made, and in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And going on to verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. No one has seen God at any time. The only Son, who is the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. He said something similar to what John said there. He said, "Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled Himself. He became obedient to the point of death." And then the Bible says, "Even the death of the cross." Even the death of the cross. The cross changes everything. Jesus, who was one with the Father in constant communion with Him, in friendship, in love, would step out of heaven from the very presence of the Father and come into our world. He would become one with us, one with humanity, only to suffer what would be the infinite humiliation of becoming not only suffering the infinite humiliation of becoming one with us to become a human. He actually came to the point of death, and even the death of the cross. Infinitely infinite humiliation. To subject Himself to mistreatment and violence of our world, but even, the Bible says, the death of the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, it's verse 6, it says, "And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He bore the sin of the world." How many are included here? All of us, all of our sins, every sin we've committed, every sin that we would commit, that we still would commit, if not for the grace of God in our life. Every single sin He bore. And the wage of sin was paid for all of them. Romans 3:23 says this, for there is no difference. And he's talking here, Paul's talking, comparing Jew and Gentile, and that's where he's talking about. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between followers of God and not followers of God, basically. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Paul goes on, and then without a pause, and says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, all have sinned, and the same all have been freely justified by his grace through the redemption or the deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. The cross changes everything. All have sinned, and all are justified. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 says it this way, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling, what's it say? The world. How many does that include? Pretty much everyone. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing the world's trespasses to them. Hebrews chapter 2 says it this way, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for their suffering to death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And Romans 5:18, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. The cross, it changes everything. He bore the iniquity of us all. The wage of sin of all was paid. And that's why Paul, with confidence, could say that all have sinned and are justified freely by his grace. In this verse in Romans chapter 5, just thinking of that passage a little more deeper, in the beginning, earlier in the chapter, he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't wait for us to come. He didn't wait for the world to do something or get its act together. While we were enemies to him, he actually says in this passage, while we're enemies, this is when Christ, when God is acting. And he's acting on our behalf through Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And then going down a little further in verse 12, therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the whole world. Who's that one man? Yeah, Adam. Sin entered the whole world. And you could talk about how that sin entered and all of that. And maybe some theologians might debate what that means. But it basically means sin came through this one man and entered in. And death came through that sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Remember we read, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? And again, theologians may debate kind of what this means. But the bottom line is, Paul then goes to this Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. However you think about it theologically, it came and affected everyone, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, who's this one man now? Jesus Christ. The free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Whatever you think of how that condemnation came and how it affected us all, no matter what way you come to that, the bottom line is, whatever Adam brought into the world and came to him and came to us and through us and all of this, Christ undid it all. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15 says this, for the love of Christ compels us, it draws us, it pushes us forward, because we judge thus. If one died for all, then all died. You see, when he came and became one as us, he becomes humanity. He came, in a sense, he comes instead of you, but in a bigger sense, he comes as you. and you died. That's what Paul is talking about, because he understood this idea that's a very Eastern idea, not a Western idea. He died when they, one died for all, then all died, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Verse 17, going on in the same passage, therefore, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Not he's not trying to become one, he's getting there eventually, but he is a new creation. This is how positive and certain Paul is talking about. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. Not some things. Not just the things that, oh, those are easy to give up. All things have become new, he tells us. And then going on, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, and he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. This is what witnessing is about. It's simply telling people what is true of them that they just don't know yet. All have sinned. All are justified. If anyone's in Christ, who's in Christ? They are a new creation. You can tell them they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. There's only one thing that God is waiting for us to believe what he said is true about us. And so he goes on to say that is about this reconciliation ministry that we're called to. That is that God was in Christ. This is what you're telling people. And he's reconciling believers? Yeah, the world. This is all inclusive, the same thing. It's throughout the whole gospel. He's reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. For the world. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, here, this is how simple witnessing is. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. This is what he's pleading. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be what you are. Be what he sees you as. Be what he's made you. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can you say amen? I'm excited about the gospel. The cross, it changes everything. And as we come to the communion table, we should come with full assurance of how God feels about us. All that he has already done on our behalf. He loves us more than life itself. He has given everything he has. There's nothing held in reserve. There's no extra thing that he's holding back. He has given everything that he has to restore us to himself. He does not stand toward us with a single ounce of condemnation. Whatever condemnation that comes through Adam and the entrance of sin into the world, or our actions and things that we've done in our past, he doesn't condemn us. Like the woman there is at his feet, neither do I condemn you. He has undone it all, and all of us stand before him legally justified. All by virtue of the cross of Calvary have life today. And all may be new creations today. And all may continue to have life in eternity future today. Do you believe that? That's all he's asking us to do. The cross changes everything. Let me say it one more time. He's undone it all, and all stand before him legally justified. All by virtue of the cross of Calvary have life today, and all may be new creations today, and all may continue to have life in eternity future today. How may this be true for me, you may ask? It is true. How can I make it mine? It is yours. What is left for me to do? Well, to do just what the apostle says. Be what God has already declared and made you to be. Believe what he has said about you. Reconciled to God. You're his child. Be the recipient of the indwelling Spirit. Be the recipient of every good gift of the Spirit. Be one with him. And Jesus, as Jesus was one with him, be reconciled to God. Is that your desire today? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the cross changes everything. Father, everything that this whole mess that we find ourselves in because of sin and selfishness and stepping away from you and all that the earth and the world and history has shown and our own life has shown it, all of it you have made right through Christ. The cross changes everything. Thank you that you see us through different eyes than we see ourselves. And Father, yes, we want to be new creations. We want to believe. Help us be the recipients of what you have already said is true for us. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. As we divide for the ordinance of foot washing this morning, the Bible says in John 13:14-15, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And that's what we do during the ordinance of foot washing. We're going to divide and do that. If you've never participated in foot washing service, you're welcome to participate. You're welcome to observe. You're welcome to just remain here in the sanctuary and meditate and pray and prepare your heart for communion. If you'd like to participate but don't have a partner, just see one of the deacons or deaconesses, elder, or myself, and we'll be happy to serve you. And the men will be gathering in the junior room. The women will meet in the early teens room, and couples and family can meet in the fireside room. And if you're not sure where those are, ask Deacon Bob in the back. He knows where everything is. And let's separate for foot washing, and then we'll reconvene after here. Our Lord has said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That's found in John 6:53-55. This is true of our physical nature. To the death of Christ, we owe even our earthly life. The bread we eat every day is the purchase of his broken body. The water we drink is bought by his spilled blood. Never one saint or sinner eats his daily food, but he is nourished by the body and blood of Christ. The cross of Christ is stamped on every loaf. It is reflected in every water spring. All this Christ has taught in appointing the emblems of his great sacrifice. The light shining from the communion service in the upper chambers that evening makes sacred the provisions of our daily life. The family table becomes as the table of the Lord, and every meal is a sacrament. And how much more as Christ, are Christ's words true of our spiritual nature? He declares, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. It is by receiving the life for us poured out on Calvary's cross that we can live the life of Christ. And this life we receive by receiving His Word, by doing those things which He has commanded. Thus, we become one with Him. He that eats my flesh, He says, and drinks my blood, dwelt in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Also John chapter 6. To the Holy Communion table, this scripture in a special sense applies. As faith contemplates our Lord's great sacrifice, the soul assimilates the spiritual life of Christ. Is that your desire today? As we partake of these emblems, the communion service. In Luke chapter 22, verse 14, it says, when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and said to them with fervent desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom. I've asked Joe to give a prayer before we partake of the emblem of the bread.
Loving Father, God of the universe and our Creator, as we ingest this emblem and it becomes a part of us, we ask that you would also fill us with your Spirit and become a part of us, that you live in us and we in you. Thank you for your great service, and we're just so grateful. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And in Luke 22, it goes on to say, and he took bread and he gave thanks and broke it. He gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Before we partake of the emblem of his blood, I've asked Julia to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, before we were even born, before there was an established population, you had a plan in mind to shed your blood in the event that sin came into this world. And we're very thankful, and help us to appreciate that every day. And help us to study and read more about what you've done for us. As we partake of this emblem of your blood, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Going on in Luke chapter 22, likewise he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it. Thank you. Bible goes on and says, and when they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's stand and sing The Old Rugged Cross.